The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Oh, you know what that music means. It means we're heading east. We're heading to the Smoky Mountains, where Vince Ferrara is standing by. At Vince Sports on Twitter. He's with WNML, the sports animal there in Knoxville, and he now joins us. Vinny, how you doing?
I'm good. Did Elijah like kick up the volume of that, like as you started your toss, just to make sure that association is still there?
I think he really gets into that song. I think a lot of our listeners get into the song, and so they know when they hear Ronnie, it's time to talk to Uncle Vinny, you know?
Gets the blood flowing.
I'm good, though. I hope you guys had a great Super Bowl weekend.
Yeah, what did you make of the game? A lot of Nashville and Tennessee ties in that game.
Yeah, no doubt. And look, you could make an argument. I said this during the week that anyone is making an argument for the Bengals, anyone's making an argument for the Rams, I'll listen to you. I thought it was going to be down to the wire, close, one possession, could see it either way. And I think it was fitting that the game was so close, and you could point to so many different individual plays in the game that signified and was symbolic of how the entire NFL season was. There was so much parity. There wasn't a runaway favorite. Both of the one seeds, not Pollyon, both of the one seeds in the playoffs lost in their first game at home. There were so many teams like the Bengals, you know, 7-8 lost teams into the playoffs. It was one of those years where the margin between wins and losses was so minute, and there's just a ton of plays in the game that you could point to. Obviously, Aaron Donald, the way he and that defense made adjustments and just destroyed that Cincinnati offensive line late in the game, which they were not able to do in the first half. But you got to give them credit. It's the full 60 minutes, and the Rams made the adjustments, and you know, the Bengals just did not have an answer at the end. Both, not just offensively, which I didn't understand running up the middle on 3rd and 1 with P. Ryan. I'm getting out in space to Joe Mixon. It wasn't in the game, it didn't look like. I didn't understand that. And then not sending even more coverage to Cooper Kupp. He is not beating me defensively. And they did such a great job most of the game on him. I just didn't understand that. So, look, amazing drive at the end. Got to give the Rams full credit. It was a bunch of different reasons why they won the game. Not it's because of him. There was a lot of reasons for it.
You told us last week, we talked about the renovations to Neyland Stadium, and you said that not sure about the spring game, possibly could be in Nashville. I know Danny White went on your afternoon show last week. What did he talk about that?
He did. Yeah, he does a bi-weekly segment, long segment with John and Jimmy on our afternoon show, and sometimes I'm on it when he's on. But yeah, he said that they haven't been able to come to a full decision. They're hoping to do it soon. When I asked him about it a couple of weeks ago, he had said that they want to do something pretty soon. People want to plan for it. You want to get everything set for it. There's still the renovation to Neyland Stadium. I don't know if they're still trying to figure out a way to where they can section things out and avoid the areas where there's the construction and do it safely with cranes, outside the building and stuff. So it's just there's a lot of factors there. I don't know why they would consider that. I don't know how serious that is, but my thing is, do they have it at all, or do they skip it, or do they make it work in Nashville? My guess is they will find a way to make it work in Nashville. Maybe there's just some scheduling, some logistics. You got to work around class schedules when you got to set your practice time. Tennessee really hasn't even given up when they would do their do the spring game yet, and that tells me that they're trying to figure out a right date and then match the practice schedule to get to that date in order to make it work. Otherwise, then they'd say, all right, this is the only time we could do it. Our schedule is set. We're doing it here. And that, to me, if they were more dead set on their schedule, it would lead me to believe that they would be more likely to skip it. But because they've been flexible, I think they're still trying to make it work in Nashville.
Hmm. What did Josh Heupel say recently about the transfer portal, which is basically discussed anytime a coach is talking these days?
Yeah, he talked to the Knoxville Rotary Club last week, and you know, he took some questions, and he was asked about the Tennessee's activity in the transfer portal because, you know, they brought in a half dozen players, but most of them have been preferred walk-ons. They really only have one scholarship guy in Gerald Mincy, the offensive lineman from Florida. And while everybody else is bringing in players in the transfer portal, I think people are like, okay, what's going on here? Is Tennessee just getting beat out? Are they not looking? Are they waiting? And there's always a lot of factors involved in that. But he brought some of those things out, like, hey, you got to make sure that you're bringing in the right players that fit your culture and what you're trying to do. And then also kind of towards the end, he said, you know, a portion of what they're doing in the offseason is trying to align themselves and moving forward and thinking long term to put themselves in the best position with some of the things that they were dealing with before he got here. And so that to me tells me that exactly what Jimmy Himes has reported that UT has not said anything about, and that's that they've self-imposed a scholarship limit through the school year, which goes until with a term, I should say, May 12th of 12 scholarships. So I don't think you're going to see Tennessee really add anyone. It'd be less likely to add anyone right now for the transfer portal. And to me, that's not that big of a deal because guess what's going to happen after players go through spring practices? Kids are going to say, hey, I'm third team. I should be the starter. I'm going to go somewhere else. So you're going to have another influx after the spring semester of kids hitting the transfer portal. And so you may be able to bring some of those in. The question is how active Tennessee will be at that point. But I think that, to me, without him saying we're on a scholarship limit right now, tells me what he's referring to, you know, dealing with some of the things that they had there before he got here, tells me that's the NCAA, and that's an answer, is that short-term scholarship limit of 12 right now. And, you know, we'll see after spring. But I thought that was interesting in how they're, he referred to that and how they're approaching it.
I would not suggest that they come out with the slogan going good, from good to great. I don't think it's ever a good idea to do that. But how do the Vols go from good to great?
Well, one of the things they're really working on right now, because it's the recruiting dead period, is a lot of self-evaluation. And it's so hard, guys, with rosters that turn over so much. You have to project what players are going to be like as the season goes on, and then find a plan for what works for those players. That plan may be different than what those players are right now, whether it's physically or skill set they developed or the mental capacity of what they have and understanding those positions. So those coaches have to be able to project and then put together plans for it. Heupel has talked about figuring out what they do with the players they have, which I really like, versus, hey, they have to fit to our system. And so they do adjust. He has a system, the tempo for sure, but there are some things within that that they adjust to their players, and they need to. I think they did a good job of that last year. But there's areas they need to improve, to answer your question. To me, they need to be better in short yardage offensively. They weren't very good on third and short, fourth and short. Cost them the pick game, cost them in the bowl game against Purdue as well. And then also defensively, they weren't great on third down and third down stops. And then maybe the biggest of the bunch is pressuring the quarterback and not having to do it with a bunch of pressures and blitzes, which is what they had to rely on a lot last year. So those are some specific areas of improvement. I don't know that that gets them to great, Darren, but I think it can help them and make them better. Great is such a subjective title. I think it could get them, if they improve in those areas, I think it can get them to second place in the East, and that will be progress for sure.
Yeah. All right. Willie will hit the basketball side of things. Big week again for Tennessee on that, and a big weekend as they hosted Vanderbilt. So Willie will get into all that with you on the other side. More with Vince Ferrara here on Darren Donica Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Let's tell you about Loan Pronto. Your home's value is way up these days, and you can use that money now to pay off the credit cards, remodel your house, or both. Just call the guys at Loan Pronto now. They can help you right now convert that home's equity into cash in as little as 2 weeks. No cost to you, zero hassle. This is a streamlined, all-digital process that takes about 2 weeks. And lots of folks are doing this with no cost to you and zero hassle. Here's an example. One local couple recently called Loan Pronto. They did a Loan Pronto zero-cost cash-out refi. They got a check for $100,000. They used $50,000 to pay off all their credit cards and a car loan. They used the other $50,000 to upgrade their master bath and kitchen. They locked in a new APR in the twos. They lowered that total monthly bill by hundreds of dollars. That is the perfect game plan with Loan Pronto. You can execute a similar game plan, and you can make your own adjustments based on the situation that you're in. That's smart. So what are you waiting on? Call Loan Pronto now. Find out what you can do. Convert that home value into cash and put the money to smart, good use. Do it now. You can even skip your next two house payments. Here's how you call Loan Pronto. 615-499-5780. That's 615-499-5780, or go to loanpronto.com. Equal housing lender, NMLS 166-1781. Subject to lender approval, not all loans apply. Okay, round two with Vince Ferrara. We talked some football. We talked some Super Bowl with him, but his weekly check-in from over in Knoxville talking about the Vols, WNML in Knoxville. Vince, let's get to the basketball. Vanderbilt versus Tennessee over the weekend. Unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to see the game. The Preds were playing, and I saw some highlights. I went back through the stats and everything. Just from the outside perspective from you, though, I'm curious your thoughts on what Vanderbilt looked like with Rodney Chapman in the lineup and Liam Robbins, who's still trying to get his bearings here. But two players that I think make a difference for Vanderbilt, and it was certainly a competitive game for the Commodores, but a good hold of serve by the Vols.
Yeah, you could tell that Robbins still, you know, like you mentioned, still trying to get his feet under him, get his bearings. You know, there was times where he impacted shots in the paint, but he's not what I think he will be when he fully gets back and acclimated. Chapman, you know, was good. You know, those three-point shots, I think for a while there, Vanderbilt's three-point shooting was kind of keeping them in the game. And then they went on that run early in the second half and got it to within one. And then Tennessee got some very important quick answers after that, and then they were able to separate. But I was impressed with Vanderbilt. They, you know, to me, they look better than when we saw them last month at home against Tennessee, and or in Nashville against Tennessee. And And I think Jerry Stackhouse has done a real nice job with them. Obviously, adding those guys helps them. But, you know, Scottie Pippen Jr. was doing his thing. And it frustrates the heck out of fans. He's so stinking good at drawing fouls. I mean, leaning into guys and drawing the contact and, you know, reacting when he gets just a little bit of contact. And he's a pro from that standpoint. And he's one of the best in the country at it. And Tennessee was baited into him. He got to the line. That's what he does. So I think Vanderbilt has been competitive, and they were fine. But from Tennessee's standpoint, I think Tennessee continues to get aggressive play from Josiah Jordan James. Zakai Ziegler has just been a wizard off the bench
awesome.
For them. I mean, SEC Freshman of the Week last week, 16 points off the bench, and some of his buckets they really needed, and 5 assists in the game. Tennessee played 11 players in the game. All 11 scored. And so the fact that they had everybody engaged from the jump was big, and Kennedy Chandler was scoreless the entire game until 4:15 left in the ball game. And then he went on a 6-0 run, and just like that, where Vanderbilt was within a couple of possessions, it exploded up to 10 from 4, just like that, where he was able to take over. And they seem to have more answers now when they need them than they did, you know, a month or so ago.
You're starting to see the field take shape, at least at the top. It's starting, you know, certainly the focus is not all the way in yet. There's plenty of time to improve your resume from wherever you are in the picture. But you guys had Joe Lunardi on, and he has his perspective. You know, we're going to start seeing probably more of him than we'd like to at this time of the season. And they, of course, have him cranking up year-round now. But what did he tell you guys about where Tennessee sits in the universe?
Well, he is obviously was asked about Tennessee and how Tennessee compares to some of those other teams. And, you know, some of the teams that you would expect to be recognized as the elite in college basketball, the Auburns and Kentuckys, the Gonzagas, the Purdue, some of those types of teams, Duke. They're the Final Four teams that he talked about that they're sort of in that, sort of on their own level as elite. And then you have other contenders potentially, you know, try to get, you know, a top 2 or 3 seed. And he was asked about Tennessee, and he said, Tennessee is good, but he said they're regular good as opposed to elite good, which, you know, that might sound like a real slight at Tennessee.
Right. You'd have to take the context of what he says there because, you know, just think about if you're in any number of environments, if somebody told you you're regular good, you could be like, what? What are you talking about? Me? I'm not regular.
Right. No. And it's in comparison, like the context you talked about, in comparison to some of those top-level teams. And I agree with that. Tennessee isn't on that level. I'm not sure they can get to that level. You know, there's the hope, obviously, that the way they're shooting the basketball a lot better, that they could, with the way they defend, that they could be, you know, a scary type of team in the tournament. And I buy into that, but I do think there is a limit for where they can get. I don't think they can match the depth and the versatility and the athleticism of an Auburn or a Kentucky or the way Gonzaga
right.
is just destroying people.
Okay, let's take that, Vince, because I think that's a fair assessment, but still, like, there are, you know, dozens and dozens of Division I teams that would love to be in that category where Tennessee is. And so that always comes back in something we've been talking about for decades is, what are your expectations? Like, when Kevin Stallings had the Vanderbilt teams sort of in that boat with John Jenkins and Festus Ezeli, but they really never put together a great tournament run, you know, nothing past the Sweet 16 on occasion, people got to where they were, hey, we want more. Now they would probably kill for those teams. So Tennessee's sort of in that boat right now. So how does that sound to Tennessee fans?
Well, because there have been the disappointments in the NCAA tournament under Rick Barnes, I think there's still some trepidation. Now, that's not for everybody. I think some are excited in looking at this year in its own bubble and not holding Rick Barnes or the some of those teams under Rick Barnes with Williams and Schofield that had so much talent, high seeds, and they didn't cash in on those. So there's a split on how fans look at it, but I do think that even if they do get a high seed, and to me, you want to get above the four line, because you start messing around with the 4-5, you're going to run into quickly a one seed, and I think that's where it can come to an end. Now, that Tennessee's had its tournament ended by teams seeded a lot worse than ones, but I think for you to look for your best path, you want to get to at least a three seed. So I think that's where fans are looking at, hey, let's keep this going and try to get at least to a three seed. That's, I think, a goal to try to get to.
Okay, so let's talk about the next task at hand as we let you go. Kentucky coming in. That's a big one. Kentucky playing great. Give me the matchup.
Well, a big factor in this is the status of Ty Washington. He got hurt in that Florida game. X-rays were apparently negative, according to John Calipari in his post-game. He said he might be out a week or two, but he also kind of said, who knows? So that kind of leaves his status in question. Kentucky was fully healthy when they played Tennessee the first time and housed the Vols in Rupp Arena, where they shot almost 70% for the game. So when Kentucky is healthy and 100%, they're as good as it gets in college basketball. At times when they've had pieces missing here and there, including Washington at times, they can come back down to earth a little bit, play more inconsistent, and then some lesser teams can kind of hang with them a little bit more. It's in Thompson Bowling Arena. That it's already sold out. It's going to be bonkers in there late tomorrow night, 9 p.m. Eastern time. We all love those late tips. Eastern time zone, but it's going to be some kind of atmosphere in there. Tennessee's been great at home, and now Tennessee's not 100% without Kumwa, but now Kentucky may not be 100%. So much will come down to guard play and then defending the three-point line, because when Kentucky hits threes, the way they can drive into the lane, going to be massive, and then a lot is going to be on the plate of Chandler and Ziegler to keep those guards from cutting into the lane and getting all the way to the basket. Tennessee won't have their shot blocker in Kumwa, their top shot blocker. I wonder if we'll see Jonas Adu, a freshman who was really good in his bench minutes, gives them length beyond 7 foot wingspan. If he plays more, we may see him more minutes in that game, to try to give them a little bit of shot blocking. But dealing with Oscar Tshiebwe is going to be very, very tough. If Tennessee gets this win, now you start getting into that three category. Now you get people nationally start to talk about Tennessee even more than they have. Big opportunity for the Vols, but even without Washington, it's not going to be easy because they're so good.
Vince, appreciate it as always. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next week.
Hey, real quick, I suggest this highly. I watched the Super Bowl Twitter-free, and I was proud of it.
I did, too.
It was so relaxing.
Best way to go. Best way to go.
I did not get on Twitter one time.
Yep. Good man.
Yep. All right. How about yay us? How about that? Let's get in here. Group hug.
Yes, sir.
Wow. I mean, who could say that in 2022? The three of us did not get on Twitter during the Super Bowl. Good for us. Attaboys. Vinny, thank you.
Have a great week. See you guys.
Vince Ferrara, the sports animal, WNML. They're in Knoxville. There's been a trade in hockey. We'll tell you what happened. Also, an interesting discussion piece that was brought up on our show last week. We'll talk about that on the other side. Darren Donica Chase, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. Thank you, Rick. Appreciate it. Hey, you want to go to the game tomorrow night? Predators, Capitals. Some guy named Ovechkin coming to town. Peter Laviolette on the bench. Some guy, Tom Wilson. Boo. But you're going to have to earn it. It's not going to be easy. Okay? We're going to give you tickets, but you're going to have to call in and correctly answer this question. 615-737-1025. That's our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You're going to have to tell Elijah at our Hillside Medical Game Studio who played in their 100th career game, their 100th NHL game on Saturday night for the Predators. Who played in their 100th game in the NHL Saturday night for the Preds? So what Predators player played in their 100th game Saturday night? Correctly answer that, and you will be in the building tomorrow night when the Predators host the Capitals. But I'm going to make you earn this one. This is not
won't
one
take
you
long.
Can...
Won't take long.
Oh, I disagree. I think it's going to...
First caller. First caller's going to get it.
No way.
Oh, Elijah has the phone in his hand.
You're right. Get out of here. Is it really?
Let's see.
No. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, I think maybe so.
Incorrect.
No, incorrect.
I'm going to bet
this. A long time on the phone.
Yeah, but I'm not sure the I'm not sure the first person really thought they knew what was going on. Ooh, we got it incorrect. Incorrect.
Told you.
First real guess was incorrect.
Told you. Okay, the phone lines are
second real guesser. Incorrect.
Told you. I told you.
Third caller is correct.
Okay. I would have gone probably 4.5 as the over-under.
See, one person didn't hear the question first. Yeah, see, highly that's advised to hear the question.
No, you can't pull that stunt. Call in and then ask what the question is. No, that doesn't work. So I had a feeling. So two incorrect guesses before the correct answer of Michael
McCarron. I'm impressed. Someone on our staff just texted us and didn't even have the correct answer.
Interesting.
And I'll leave their name out of it. Just look at our text. Wrong answer.
Wrong answer, yes. Michael McCarron. Very nice story for the Predators.
Michael McCarron.
They really like
the correct answer.
His makeup. He's a first-round pick that has gone from being that down to the bottom and then back up to being a useful player on the team. Very well-liked. Fits in well with the way they want to play. And that's a guy that, you know, be interesting to see what his role continues to be. Do they try to bring any new blood in between
I've
now?
I told you. You know how I feel about it.
You
say
like
stick
him in
with
there.
Him, man. I stay, yeah. Stick with it. Yeah. I have no really
now,
I really
there's
don't
penalties,
have
right? He takes some penalties. He's the guy that, you know, in this whole discussion of you got to stay out of the box.
Is he the one that's been – is he the one the last couple of games has been trotting to the box?
Well, maybe not the last couple of games, but he takes his share.
Well, they went there 14 times, and it wasn't because of him.
No, but he takes his share. Just like, you know, let's say what it is. Tanner Jeannot commits a lot of penalties, but that goes with all of the great things that he does. So
that's
this
right.
is all in context of how you try to find that perfect balance that you're looking for, which has been really good up until the last two games.
I'm surprised Robbie didn't ask me about bringing Cali Yarncroke here at the trade deadline. Maybe because he knows my answer.
Well, he commits very few penalties.
I was like, no.
That is, honestly, Cali Yarncroke, he's not going to hit anybody, but he does not commit penalties.
Right.
So this is all what you all the give and takes of a hockey player.
By the way, that person texted back to us and says, sometimes I'm wrong. Well, you were wrong.
This is true.
You're wrong, but considering, you know, what you do, I'm a little surprised that you had the wrong answer, you know?
Now, speaking of, you know, Michael McCarron, where he fits, will they trade? What role would he have if they make a trade? There was a very significant trade that happened.
Well, that's what
as you referenced before.
Segue. The Calgary Flames, Calgary, trading for Tyler Toffoli. The Montreal implosion is beginning. We know they moved on from their coach. It's about to be. Hold on, let me pull my mic. The implosion is set to begin. They get Tyler Pitlick, first round pick. It needs to be top 10, or I guess it's top 10 projected this year.
Protected. Top 10 protected. In other words,
oh,
if they.
Protected.
So I think that means if it's in the top 10,
so
they don't get it.
Oh, really? I think you.
Right. But the Flames aren't going to pick in the top 10. So it's probably, to me, kind of a moot point, I think.
Okay. Yeah, they're not going to be top 10.
I don't think they're going to start
like
losing
Montreal,
every game.
Like you could Calgary
might well be all the injuries factored into Vegas. Calgary could win that division.
They could.
I think they are right now. They are really surging. That's a really, really good team.
They'll be a scary out.
Oh, I agree. They could beat Vegas because Vegas is still dealing with a lot, trying to figure out. Vegas is kind of like the Rams of the NHL. They're going for it right now. They've traded a lot to get what they're doing. They've been bold. And it's complicated because they've got to get in under the salary cap, and we still don't know how they're going to do that. Jack Eichel is getting more and more close to being able to play, but he can't play until they clear a very significant chunk of salary cap. In the meantime, Calgary keeps getting closer. And so now they add Tyler Toffoli, who is a solid guy. He's played on Stanley Cup winning teams. He played for the LA Kings back in the day. He's bounced around a couple times. He played on Montreal's run all the way to the finals last year, so he's played a lot of big-time playoff games. He's kind of that middle six guy who's a, you know, he could play on your, probably not ideal top-line guy, but he could be on the second line, could certainly be on the third line, knows what he's doing. They give up. Now, he's still also, the other thing about him is he's still got some time left on his contract. He's a reasonable price for a good player. And so that's why the Canadians were able to get a first, a fifth, plus this prospect, Emil Heinemann, who I don't know much about, but he was a former second-round pick.
Signing rights to him.
Yeah, he's unsigned. He's playing in Europe, I believe, but he's only 20 years old. He's a former second-round pick, so he's got something to bring to the table. Who knows what he'll look like at age 23, 24, 25. Tyler Pitlick is a throw-in role player, probably for salary cap purposes. But Calgary going for it here because they've got big decisions. They've got cap issues. They've got Johnny Gaudreau, who's having a huge year, and he's a free agent at the end of the year. They don't have the room that the Predators have to re-up with him. He's kind of their Forsberg, right, Johnny Gaudreau? Because they also have Matthew Tkachuk, who they've got to deal with the following year. And do they have enough money to sign both? That's the thing they're dealing with up there.
I'd say, though, they gave up. That was a pretty steep price. I mean,
I'd say that's a lot of assets.
I mean, Tyler Toffoli's good, I mean, but he's not. That's a lot.
That's a lot.
Just being honest. Congratulations, James Neal. James Neal correctly guessed Michael McCarron.
So he
James,
did.
You could have called in and just hung out and talked to us. What's going on? Tell us what you're up to. No, it was Michael Neal.
Michael Neal.
No relation to James, I don't think.
Not Curly Neal.
Not Curly. But Michael Neal.
Okay.
Michael nailed it. Michael McCarron. I mean, I guess it was right up his alley, right? Michael guessing Michael. So we'll see you tomorrow night when the Predators host the Capitals. All right, we're going to come back and discuss something that is starting to really have quite the ripple effect around the league. And it had to do with last night's injury. By the way, I said it. I don't know. We haven't really discussed it. When it happened, I was like, oh, torn ACL. And then but it's being speculated today that they believe they're going to come out and say Odell Beckham's got a torn ACL, just the way it happened. You know, they like when they came back and said he's questionable to return, I was like, give me a break. He's totally done. Like, what are you talking about? Questionable return. Just stop it. But there's been a kind of a ripple effect about the turf. So we'll get into that on the other side to close that hour number three. But first, Willie, you've got a word about QC Kinetics.
Well, we're going to talk about joints in the next segment with Odell Beckham's knee. But this is for those of you that have got that wear and tear, that chronic joint pain that's been just bugging you right now. Maybe as you're getting a little bit older, you're not moving the way that you used to. Don't assume that the steroid shots and the pain pills and the potential surgeries are the only options out there for you. You can now get real, lasting, life-changing relief from QC Kinetics. I've been talking about this now for weeks. QC Kinetics is the nation's leader in using biologic therapies to repair damaged tissue in your aching joints. Great success rate with this. People with knee, back pain, shoulder pain, hip pain, they're moving again. With help from QC Kinetics, it's advanced treatments. It's going to soothe the inflammation and restore the damaged tissue for you. It's regenerative. No surgeries, No drugs, no downtime. It's new, it's different, it's highly successful. Try QC Kinetics. Get the free second opinion. It's a consultation. This might be for you. Call them now. 615-249-4024. That's 615-249-4024 for QC Kinetics.
We'll have some NFL zingers coming up to begin the fourth and final hour. Like I said, Odell Beckham Jr., who was having quite the game, it is being speculated that he's going to have a – did they just put it out there? Did I literally just see it breaking? That it – I think I may have just literally looked up and seen where they are now reporting that. Let's see. But it is speculated that he did tear his – did you – by the way, did you happen to say that out loud? Because I did. I was like, oh, that's torn ACL.
Yeah, well, you're always
they're
hoping.
They're saying believed to have torn ACL. That's what they – Ian Rappaport just put that out there. So
It's something, you know, having – you and I, of course, if people have listened to the show, you know we've both done it. We've both had that happen to us. When you see it happen without a contact, you always fear that. And when you hear people say it's presumed or it's what was the word they used? It's believed to
yes,
be
believed. Uh-huh.
A lot of times, what that means is you know the doctors they know the test to look right. They do the movements. The doctors usually know. You don't get it confirmed until you go in and do the MRI to look at what it shows, but. When there are certain checkpoints that you look for, you kind of know. So that's tough. That's tough. And so now it has brought up an interesting discussion about the field turf. And, of course, Darren, you and I talked to Terry McCormick last week about the Titans, who maybe are a little bit more open-minded to using field turf. We now know that all around the country, especially in some cities like Nashville and, of course, further north, where you have a lot of bad weather, a lot of rain, it is really hard to maintain good grass fields in this day and age, especially during football season.
Yep.
But there's a lot of players now that are really starting to try to create some awareness about the benefits of grass and the detriments of the turf.
Well, here's some issues. One, let me just say this. I see the player side because evidently they've been polling players and they're saying 90% of NFL players prefer real grass. Okay, so that shouldn't surprise
me. I think it's probably 90% of the public would prefer grass. But there's a reason why not every field's grass.
Even George Kittle says, you know, I don't like artificial turf. I love grass. It's better for my body. Like, okay, I understand all of that, and certainly they have their right to feel that way. I get it. It makes sense. As a player, what do you think is more impactful for your body? What is better for your body, grass or turf? We know the answer. Even turf has come a long ways. Like, don't even get us started on decades ago how bad it was with turf. I mean, you talking about that was a real discussion back then. I mean,
and,
you're talking about
sort of
wrecking bodies.
100%.
Those turfs wrecked bodies.
And that's why it really hasn't been at the forefront of the discussion here very often, is because it's so much better than it used to be. But that doesn't necessarily mean it's perfect. And so that's where the discussion, I wonder where this will go from here, because that was an interesting thing that a lot of people sort of rallied to. Didn't they try to spread a petition out to try to get people
Yes. But here is the other side that I'm going to present. Like players, that's great. I understand. I feel your pain. I get it. I've experienced some of those injuries. Willie's experienced some of those injuries, and we didn't play in the NFL. It sucks. Rehab sucks. And, you know, especially with Odell Beckham, this is going to be twice. I mean, that's horrible. Like, I hate it for him. And he was well on his way to having a big Super Bowl. You know, at least it looked that way. And, you know, his Super Bowl gets cut short. He's going to get a ring, and he's still a champ, and all that's great. But here is the other side to this. Do you like those big checks? And I get it. Most of it is because of TV. But do you like those paydays? Because you're getting paid every year. Salaries keep going up, and you get well compensated. And especially some of these players that, you know, are putting this stuff out there, like George Kittle. You know, I get it. You live in Nashville now. Hey, root for you. Seem like a nice guy. Friends with Philip Forsberg. Do you like those big fat checks that you get? Well, a lot of it has to do with, you know, these to pay those big fat checks, they're always looking to keep making more and more money. So what does that mean? You have the shortest schedule of any professional sports in the country. It's not even close. You play now 17 regular season games, which means you could be playing 8 home games in a calendar year. That's 8 dates at your building. Baseball teams get to host 81. NBA and NHL get to host 41 in the regular season. Soccer, way more. So these clubs are looking for more ways to generate more money. So what are they doing? They're using these incredible facilities to constantly put other things in their building. And this is why the Titans have expressed interest in the turf field, because when they want to have a Garth Brooks concert or a Taylor Swift concert or a fill in the blank or WWE, you know, SummerSlam or Monster Jam or all this stuff, they're looking to branch out and host more big events. And the CMAs, also, it, and maybe it's, you know, a bowl game also we know is there every year, or TSU. They're trying to get more and more activity where it's not just sitting there idle. And to do that, it makes it extremely difficult when it's grass. It just does.
Yes, there's no doubt.
You have
that that's
to have
a big
turf
thing
to pull it off.
And we discussed that the other day. What I think the players want out there is, hey, has anybody done research? Like, that's what I would like to know. Has anybody done the research since these fields have come into existence? Now, you should have enough data. Because it's been a good, 10, 15 years since these types of fields started to become commonplace. Maybe a little longer than that. Maybe I'm trying to think of what was the first one that I saw. Early 2000s, probably.
It was like 2006,
right?
Or 7, I guess, was when.
Somewhere in there where you started to really see those.
The Colts started
a lot
playing on it. I think
you know,
that's
with the,
I've seen.
You know, the little pellets of ground up rubber that kick up into your face. You know, that was a new thing, you know, 15, 20 years ago. But is the research showing that there are still more injuries on that surface than natural grass? If so, we need to know that. That's where a players' union needs to be bringing to the table, not just, hey, I want to play on grass. You know, you got to give me more.
That's fair.
Because it's not, hey, so-and-so got hurt on artificial turf, and, hey, my friend so-and-so also got hurt, so that must mean, well, if the data backs that up, then that's a really good argument. The other thing that this article brings up, it's on CBSSports.com, where they kind of collect all these thoughts from players, and they ask the question is, you know, what about the environment? And what about, you know, is it good for the earth, really, that you have all these artificial turf fields out there? And that's a fair question, and I don't know what the research shows there either. But it's a fair thing. It's not just with big-time sporting events, right? Playgrounds you take your kids to all the time. A lot of times it's that same surface now. And it's great because they don't get all muddy when it rains and stuff, and kids can go wild on that stuff, and it seems to be a lot better than rolling around in the dirt or something like that. But is there a cost to that when you grind up all these tires and things like that? And what do you do with it when you replace them? It's not biodegradable, all of these things. So there's a lot of reasons where you come back and say, you know what, if you could, in a perfect world, grass is the best way to go. It's the best thing for everything. But as we know, it takes a lot of work to keep the grass in good condition.
I think that is an interesting point, because you're right. That is really where, if you want this to be a serious discussion and you want to get some legs behind it, then okay, then go out and search for the data.
Yeah, and the Players Association has to do that. The owners aren't going to do it.
No, of course they're not going to. So if you really want this, then you need to make sure your union is out there searching for the hard data and show everybody. Prove to us it's not just, hey, so-and-so had an injury on turf. And, oh, by the way, I remember after we played the fourth game of the season on turf, what happened with me. Like, that's all fine, but you need league-wide, hardcore, okay, really, all the injuries that happened, how many of them were on grass, how many were on turf? Because here's the thing. You're going to have to present that. And then show if you want your star players, you know, because the business is always going to rule out, right? Like, they're going to look at the Players Association and be like, do you like those? Do you like money? Do you like your big checks? Well, we need to make money, too, to pay you the big money. But then if the data is showing, hey, you know, like 73% of the injuries are happening on turf, then they can counter and say, do you like your you know, your star players playing? Do you like your big name, high price talent playing? Well, the data is showing us that we spend a lot of time in the tub or not available because of this turf surface. So if you want your star players or your big money players out there, you might want to consider changing the playing surface. See, then you could have a real discussion. But just the, hey, we like playing on grass over turf, that ain't going to cut it. Like, you need, to me, I agree with you, you need hardcore, you know, data. Like, bring something to the table that shows unequivocally, here it is, certain percentage of players, more players are getting hurt on this playing surface as opposed to the other. And then you can have a real discussion. But right now, you know what? Signing a sheet isn't going to get it done. Like, that, a petition isn't going to change things. All right, we'll come back. We'll have NFL zingers to begin the final hour. That's next.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see Kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hey, it is Ryan Seacrest here. If you love great games and a little extra excitement to your day, I got something fun for you. Chumba Casino and I have teamed up to create an exclusive online social casino game. It's called Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's fun and free to play, just like all your favorites from Chumba Casino. And every spin brings 10,000 ways to keep the good times going. Check it out and play for free today at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.